These beautiful Gospels that we've been reading from St. John's Gospel over the past few weeks have had some real twists in them. In literature, we would call this irony. The events in a play or in a story that seem deliberately contrary to what one expects. Or in theology, we call this a paradox, an apparent contradiction, but after further investigation, reveals a deeper truth. So you remember that 2 weeks ago in the gospel about the woman at the well, we discovered the surprising twist that it was Jesus who was thirsty. The God of the universe, the God who created everything out of nothing and needs absolutely no one or no thing, finds himself needy. It's Jesus, in divine irony, who's thirsty. The surprising twist is that Jesus is the one who comes to the well of our hearts, thirsting for love. Thirsting for our faith. Last week, the surprising, unexpected twist was that the blind man was the one who could see, while those who could see were blind. The irony last week was that the blind man was the one who could see that Jesus was God and fell down and worshiped him, while the Pharisees who claimed, "We can see," were really the ones who were blind about the truth of Jesus. And so the paradox is that the first step to seeing clearly is to admit that we're very, very blind. We can only see perfectly with 20/20 vision if we see through Jesus, if Jesus opens our eyes. So in today's gospel, we have another unexpected twist, some more irony and paradox. Here's the twist. It is only after Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead that the Pharisees are absolutely convinced that they should kill Jesus. Yep. After Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, the chief priests and the Pharisees convene the Sanhedrin, the high court of the Jews, and they have this discussion. What are we going to do with Jesus? And they come up with the conclusion, he must die. And the Bible says in verse 53 of chapter 11 of St. John's Gospel, from that day forward, they planned to kill Jesus. What a twist! Jesus raises Lazarus to life, and they want to put Jesus to death. The twist is that they are going to put to death life itself. The twist is that they are going to put to death Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. They are going to put to death Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Now you would think that after seeing Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, that they would do everything in their power to keep Jesus alive. I mean, after all, having somebody around who can raise the dead is kind of a unique skill set. And more importantly, isn't that what we're looking for? Deep down in the depth of our soul, somebody that can keep us alive forever. In his beautiful encyclical, Spe Salvi, Saved by Hope, Pope Benedict XVI asks, so what do we really want? And he gives an answer. He says, we do not want to die. Above all, he says, those who love us do not want us to die. Notice that both Martha and Mary say, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. We do not want to die. Above all, those who love us don't want us to die. Pope Benedict continues to answer his question. So what do we really want? He says we want life itself. True life. Untouched. Even by death. Deep down, that's what I really want. To live forever and never die. That's why I exercise every day. This is why I work out like crazy. This is why I lift weights. This is why I eat foods that are fat-free, cholesterol-free, sugar-free, gluten-free, calorie-free. This is why I take thousands of vitamins and medicines. This is why I submit myself to a multitude of vaccinations, treatments, and procedures, because my greatest desire deep down is to never die. At every funeral, this is the greatest desire of those who mourn. They want their loved ones to live forever. They wish that Jesus could come to the grave of their grandmother Penelope or their friend Skip and shout, "Come out!" They want their loved one to rise up from that casket. And Jesus promises to do it. That's why our cemeteries are such sacred and holy ground. Jesus promises that he will open your graves and have you rise from them. Oh, my people, Jesus says, "I have promised and I will do it," says the Lord. St. Paul said, "Christ will give life to our mortal bodies. He has promised and he will do it." The only one who can give me what I really want is Jesus. And more of the irony is that Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 40, he says, "But you do not want to come to me to have life." That's the irony. We would sometimes rather kill Jesus, get him out of my life. But he's the only one who can give me life. So many times I go to people and places looking for life, but no one or no thing can ever be truly life-giving. What I'm really looking for is to live forever and never die. And only Jesus makes that promise. Do you believe it? That's what Jesus asked Martha. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." And he looks Martha in the eye and he says, "Do you believe this?" And she goes, takes a big swallow, and she says, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I believe that you are the Christ, the Christos, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You are God. Yes, I believe it." Jesus looks us personally in the eye and says, "Do you believe it? Do you believe that I am the only one who can give you life? Do you believe that Jesus is stronger than even death, because Jesus is God and he has power over death? Do you believe it?" The answer to this question will mean life or death for us. And if we believe, then we will experience the greatest irony of all, the greatest twist of all, that by putting life to death on the cross, surprise, death itself is destroyed, and life can be ours.